We back.
Welcome to another episode of the Highlight. I do this every week. Welcome to another episode of the Courtcast. As usual, by the voice,
you should apologize.
You can tell it's your returning voice of reason, voice of truth,
truth.
The man who speaks the truth, treason. Only the treason. Truth, and nothing but the truth. If you think I'm lying, just go check who won Rookie of the Year. That's all I'm going to say. And I have the returning cast. First of all, the man, the myth, the legend himself, Shannon Sharp 2.0. No agenda can come close. No, sorry, Skip Bayless 2.0, the black Skip Bayless himself. Luka Doncic can do no good in his eyes. Luka put up 30, but we're still going to hear bad things about him today. Welcome back to the show, Femi.
Spencer is carrying that team. Put some respect on his name.
The agenda never ends. And then secondly, we have a man that needs no intro. T-Shiesty, Shannon Sharp Reloaded, second in command of the Blind Witnesses. Welcome back, Tosin.
Thanks for having me.
One day, we'll talk about the fact that you stole your nickname from Joe Burrow, who you don't seem to read
that. And Joe Burrow stole his nickname from Pushiesty.
I can't argue. I don't have strength for you, Tosin. But
they gave it to the gate to the greatest to the king.
All right, let's it's playoff basketball, and that's what we're here to talk about. And let's start with the Pelicans. The New Orleans Pelicans are tied 2-2 with the Phoenix Suns. Now, granted, Devin Booker is injured, but This is a series we all called a sweep before, you know, when we're doing our playoff predictions. And right now, you won't be crazy to think the Pelicans might walk away winning this series.
Why? Because the number of Booker is not there?
Yeah, definitely, because Booker is not going to make it.
1,000%.
But I want to start with Brandon Ingram. And he gets overlooked a lot. But Brandon Ingram is a very, very talented NBA player. He's made the All-Star team. The first year he moved away from the Lakers to the Pelicans when Zion missed almost 80 out of 82 games. B.I. made this All-Star team. And he could have carried that team to the playoffs, but they just weren't good enough at the time. But now, and he's always had this talent, but he's never had the stage to showcase how good he is. And now he has the stage. You know, he's put up 30 in three straight games for the Pelicans. And he's the major reason why we think the Pelicans might end up winning this series, or why some will think Pelicans might end up winning the series. But what are you guys' thoughts on B.I.?
That guy is a dirty boy. like you said, 30 points, three games. One thing that gets overlooked with Brandon Ingram is his name is never brought up when you're talking about the mid-range assassins. This guy only takes how many threes per game, and he averages crazy numbers. Yesterday, he scored 30, 1-5 three-point shooting. His will, his power, like
the way he went off from like mid-second quarter, third quarter, and beginning of fourth quarter, it was crazy. Like the whole building was behind him.
Yeah, like his mentality. I'm not sure who I can liken it to, because his mentality is like assassin.
I was just going through my tweets today, and in 2020, the first game back in the bubble where it was the Utah Jazz versus the Pelicans, I literally tweeted, "B.I. is looking like the next KD," and his game, his stature, like almost everything about him. The only difference between him and KD right now is B.I. has hair, and KD doesn't have tattoos. But when you look at, he's copied KD's game to a fault. Like everything KD has in his locker, B.I. does. But obviously, KD does it to a greater extent, which is why he's Kevin Durant. But you know,
he also has a post game.
He's never said that attitude is one thing I like. And then most people do, like, out of most of the players in the NBA that are always claiming they're dogs, Bia is one of the only people who would actually fight you. He would actually fight you. Like, you saw what he was telling Chris Paul yesterday. We can leave this whole basketball shit and go to the back. He would actually, like, he's a thug.
And you saw what Chris Paul responded with? Nothing.
But yeah, still on the Pelicans.
With the Pelicans, what I want to say is, what are the Pelicans going to look like with Zion coming to that same team? It is scary for me. Like, look what they're doing with just the addition of McCollum and Larry Nance to the team that was struggling in the season. They added those two players and it took off. Huge shout out to McCollum as well. He's playing basically their point guard role on offense. And as the single addition, that's amazing. It makes me think, what was really wrong in Portland? Well, I didn't want to get into that right now.
People don't know this, but CJ is nice. The game I would always refer to, and Femi knows where I'm going with this, game 7, when Blazers versus Nuggets, Dame is struggling. CJ carries the Blazers to a victory with a
chase down block, game winner.
Very efficient 34. Bro, like CJ is
nice. The game winner.
I remember when Chris Middleton was struggling. Me and Femi were saying, like, yo, if the Bucks can get their hands on CJ to pair him with Giannis, that's a very nice pairing because that brother that is nice as hell.
They can handle the ball.
Yeah.
You're not sure you would be able to. He's nice.
And the most underrated person in the series to me is Valanciunas. Because Valanciunas has, like, when he has that look in his eyes and he's trying to, like, go off, like, he gives Aiden work and makes Aiden tired on the defensive side where rebounding is now a struggle and all of that. He has the post-game, the hook shot, he can turn around. DeAndre yesterday was dirty.
That got, like, the crowd going. That was literally...
Yeah.
But for...
And then Alvarado... Like, he brings that
guy. He's a criminal. He's a thief.
He's like a bad dev. You need that type of person on your team. Like, he brings that grit.
No, Tosin, he's genuinely a thief. Like, I've never seen anybody do what he does with that standing in the corner stuff.
Yeah.
And he finally got CP because CP caught him when he was trying to do it, but he got CP yesterday.
Yeah.
But you were just talking about Valanciunas. And yesterday, he had 26 and 15. Valanciunas is another, like, he's a top 10 center in this league, but people just think about it is like when you're not Joel Embiid, when you're not Nikola Jokic, you're a scrub. But Valanciunas has been nice every single place he's been. He was a key member of that Toronto team that won 59 games in 2018. He was playing well for the Memphis Grizzlies, part of the team that made the playoffs last year, and he's been a solid addition to this team. One thing about Valanciunas, he will always grab you boards. His three may not be consistent. His offensive game may not be consistent every night, but he will always bring boards. And that's one of the most important things in the postseasons, is second chance opportunities. Because the New Orleans Pelicans are tied in this series because they're averaging 18 more second chance points than Phoenix Suns. Like, they've literally killed them on the board. And it's not often you can say that about a team that has DeAndre Ayton and JaVale McGee off the bench. Like, those are two great rebounding centers, but just in there fighting for the boards. And then Herb Jones, for me, is the most underrated player on this team.
Bro, I was just thinking, I'm like, if you can actually question who the best defensive player on the court is, and Mikal Bridges is on there, that guy is doing something special.
Especially as a rookie too.
And it's not just I'm not going to lie, I didn't know him. The reason I knew him, I started to hear about him from January and because of fantasy. I just saw this kid, like, putting up 45 points, 36 points. I mean, I'm like, who is this? And then when they got CJ, obviously, I watched a few Pelican games, the ones against the Lakers, and he actually plays, like, defense. Like, he's him and Jose Alvarado as well. Remember, he got the 8-second violation on CP. It's not a lot. Mm-hmm. You're able to get that on Chris Paul. He pull out the rip throw or something to get himself through, but I don't know, man. If I'm the Phoenix Suns, I'm extremely worried. I am extremely worried. Fem, what do you think?
Here's the thing. They're wearing CP out. CP's, at the end of the day, is almost them at 38, right? So you can actually see him alternating through games. You can see him pacing himself.
you can tell from the 19-point fourth quarters, and then yesterday only dropped 4 points with 11 dimes. You know, so like you can tell the man is like alternating between trying to dish out and trying to be the man on offense. You know, he doesn't have Booker to defer to give him a 35-25 on 50% shooting. You know, damn near Crowder needs to shoot the ball like almost, he needs to shoot the three almost like 5 times and get like a couple layups to get like, you know, 20 points, you know, and then and you'd have to give him to feed him in a spot. I mean, and then you have the dominator or whatever his name is in DeAndre Ayton giving you 23-8. Like, come on, man. Valanciunas should not be at working here as the first.
That's got to be 23-12 at least.
That's easily. They're going to give me, especially in a game for the take-in, right? You know, you guys were, both teams were right there. CP should have turned it on. But, like, when you have Jose Grand Theft Alvarado all over you.
Fez. That's the title of this already. I'm just going to say it now.
You know what I'm saying? When you have him just hounding you from quarter one to quarter four, from second one to the 12th minute, like, man, like, give me a breather, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? You have Jones flying around, blocking, jump shots. No, I didn't say layups or dunks. He's blocking jump shots off a closeout.
That is on real wings, man.
Like yourself. It is like yourself. And then you go to the certified BI, man. That matters.
Before you get to BI, and you see when Herbert Jones was on the floor, CP tried to like help him up.
Yeah,
I saw that.
Bro, that mentality is what a lot of people.
The man looked at CP, man. Thanks, man. But
they were tired of CP's BS, bro. He was shoving and kicking CP. Them all around all day.
That should have been.
They wore him out. They wore him out. He's clear.
The biggest problem, why I'm extremely worried for Phoenix is CP is the only one that can go get his shot. Mikal Bridges can't. Jay Crowder definitely cannot.
Exactly.
Aiden probably can do a couple things in the post. But
you would have to feed him in the post.
But at least 10 out of his 23 points yesterday will come off of dimes from CP and a couple of them offensive rebounds, you know, some stuff like that. Who else starts for them? Cam Johnson. Yeah. He can go get a shot, but not to an elite level.
Yeah. Especially and in the playoffs when it's like...
Campaign, he's having nothing like the playoff run he had last year, because last year he couldn't miss, let's be honest. Like, he was a key. But for me, the biggest takeaway from this series is those of you that wanted to give Chris Paul MVP last year, I hope you're seeing, not only is Devin Booker the MVP of this team, he's also the best player on this team. I'll bring it up again. Last year, game one and game two, without CP against the Clippers, especially in game one, I saw Devin Booker go off for a 40-point triple-double and a 2-0 lead.
Right.
Chris Paul is, you know, at the end of the day, he's 38, but I'm just saying, like, don't give all the credit to Chris Paul for Devin Booker doing what he's doing.
He's not 38.
He's 36. No, He's 36. But yeah, Book is the MVP of this team. He's the best player on this team. And the Phoenix Suns are going to go as far as Devin Booker takes them. That's what I'm going to say.
Right. And that void of him not being there is very visible.
That's in the playoffs. Like, you're losing yourself 28-40 points a night without Book.
Yes. On a very efficient shooting, you know, type of night. So then you have, you know, B.I. One person I'm even proud of is how C.J. McBuckets have, you know, come into the team. He didn't come into the team like, me and Lillard has been to the conference finals. I know what it's like to be in the playoffs. But now the man is like, I'm going to come in. I'm going to give you a couple nice buckets. And while y'all can go off in your own way. If y'all need me to go off.
He hasn't even had a very efficient series.
Yes,
I don't think that's going to continue for so long. Like, that's why I'm really worried for the Suns. But yeah, onto a series which is practically over. It's the Bulls versus the Bucks. But DeMar, through his greatness, was able to get them one with that 41 piece. It started to look scary for the Bucks when Chris Middleton went down. in game two. He was just going off as well, because I think he had just hit like five threes in a row when he sprained his MCL. Now he's out for 4 weeks. And Giannis just said, hey, man, I don't care. Just give me the ball and get out of my way, man. That's all I need. And the Chicago Bulls have not had an answer for the big bodies that the Milwaukee Bucks possess, typically Giannis Antetokounmpo. And it's over. Milwaukee have a chance to close out the series. I think it's tomorrow. Wednesday. They have a chance to close out the series on Wednesday. So it's pretty much game, set, match. Chicago had a great season. They're going to only get better from next season with Lonzo back and Precious Williams in throughout the season and Caruso not missing in games here and there. LaVine, you know. But series over. What do you guys think?
Well, Atinte, you should know how we kumpo. No, you know how we kumpo. You should know by now. That man is an inspiration. That man is a role model. If you want to know what it's like to close out a series, just look at what Atinte is doing right now. The man has lost his second best player, and it's like he hasn't missed a beat. One thing I'm disappointed in is my old menacing self. Yeah. When I used to be on DeMar DeRozan self, you know what I'm saying? When I used to be on DeMar DeRozan. Like
we lost Femi. Continue. Go on. We lost you for a second.
Yeah, I said my old self that I tried to, you know, shed off. He's pointing to the mirror like, bro, can you see DeMar? He's being the frozen right now. Like, what's happening? You know? And it was unfortunate that AC went down.
And yeah.
He went down.
Series over. Series over.
You know, so series is over. You know, they should be rested for the next series. Middleton loss, though, would
definitely. It could bite them when they face Boston in the next round. Yeah. Listen, what about you? What do you think?
Yeah, the series is pretty much over. Like, we all knew even before the series started. But I wouldn't want to, like, put anything on DeRozan. Like, DeRozan is playing well. First off, you have the underdogs anyways. We're playing against Milwaukee, the current defending champions. You're not going to win that. So, I wouldn't say...
Playoff Giannis.
Yeah, I wouldn't say he's freezing up. Like, he's... Playing well, he dropped 23 points, 8 of 20. That's more than what KD has ever dropped. he's still trying his best. But with Middleton not being there, obviously we're able to see what Giannis is able to do. Giannis is able to, like, carry that team. And we have to, like, give a huge shout out to that to the school threat, Grayson Allen, to back 5 3-pointers or
this
more.
This is the problem I have with Billy Donovan. Billy Donovan sees that Grayson Allen is getting wide open on 3-point shots every single, and he refuses to make an adjustment. It's the same thing he did when he was on OKC with Ross and PG. He just refuses every single time. Please don't even take me back to that situation.
But yeah, I do think without Middleton, though, against Nets in the second round, I'm going to go down. I'm going down swinging.
Nets is seven, my boy.
You guys see that video of that small boy that is swinging, and then the tall guy has their hand on his head and he's swinging at. That's how you're swinging right now, fam.
But yeah, it's a huge loss. But I do think he might be back for, like, maybe fourth game.
If Giannis can win one without Middleton,
yeah,
then we have a series.
And I do think Giannis can. I mean, don't let us talk about the second round right now. But yeah, Chicago is pretty much wrapped. It's right. Over for one.
Right. A series that might be wrapped today. The rookie of the year faced the MVP to come. The Toronto Raptors versus the Philadelphia 76ers. Let's be honest, this series should be 2-2 right now. Like, the series should be tied right now.
If not for that, Hail Mary 3.
All Precious had to do was make a free throw. And then in overtime, you have the Raptors completely botching the defensive play and getting Joel Embiid wide open on a three with 0.9 seconds left. I think there was 1.4 left on the shot clock. Like, bro, series should be tied, but Philly has a 3-1 lead. Toronto said they weren't going down without fighting. Love the fights, love the energy from them in game four. I'm not saying anything, but if Toronto wins today, if Toronto is to win the game against Philly today, then we might be seeing something different, fam. Something different. What do you guys think?
Yeah. I think Van Fleet should not see the court. It's a wild take. It's a wild take. Van Fleet should not see the court.
He should not see the court. Thing is, Freddie always struggles when he plays against Philly because they have trees. Like, they have people that can swallow him easily.
Yeah, I think if they have a chance of winning, they should continue the method of having Siakam go off. Siakam should take as many shots as he wants to.
The reason we didn't win game three as well was because Pascal didn't show up. He wasn't aggressive. I think he only took 12 shots.
That's what I'm saying. They need to get Pascal to be aggressive because that's the only way for them to win. Mm-hmm. And I think they did a pretty good job on Joel the last game. They didn't get as many foul calls on them. They tried to, I don't know if it was on purpose, but they made James Harden more attacky. Like, they gave him the chance to attack more. Mm-hmm. And I think he scored the most in the season, 22 points, with maybe fewer assists.
Seven of 19.
Relax yourself, bro.
No, in the series. And I like the way they were defending. They were like, come on, blow by us. Go to the rim. We'll block you at the rim.
Lineup of Scotty at the one, Gary Trent at the two, OG at the three, Pascal at the four, and Precious at the five, with Thad Young and Ken Birch coming off the bench. He gave them length.
I prefer this guy coming off the bench, the lanky dude that shoots threes.
Precious.
No, not Precious.
Boucher.
Boucher, I forgot him as well. Thad Young, Cambridge, and Boucher off the bench. It gives them length, it gives them athleticism, it gives them quickness, it gives them wingspan on the defensive end. Something that Freddie is really good in the passing lanes, but basketball is a big bounce sport. He's barely 6'3", and he's barely 6 feet. And you've seen Trae Young so far the same thing against the Miami Heat.
And the only guy that is like Van Vliet's height is like way faster than Van Vliet. So Van Vliet can
exactly so. So it's we're not saying Toronto is a better team without Van Vliet, but playoffs are all about matchups, isn't it? And Freddie he's not a good matchup for Toronto against Philly. But Toronto has the chance to make this a very interesting series today. And for them to do that, Pascal Siakam has to come out aggressive. He has to come out to go and try to get his shot. He has to put up at least 25 shots. If the Raptors are
going to play with pressure, they should just play free. All the pressure is on Philly.
Yep. And then I want to shout out Masai Ujiri. Obviously, I'm sure everyone has seen the clip of Tosin exposing me on Instagram the other day. But one thing I'm never going to do in my life again is to doubt Masai. Ever. I'm never doing that in my life again. Imagine if the Raptors had Jalen Suggs instead of Scottie Barnes. We'll be in a totally different position than what we are right now. What Precious? Do you guys see Precious going inside and dunking against
it looked like for a second there.
I'm like, bro, Masai really said, don't worry, Milwaukee, you can keep Giannis. I have my own Giannis, and he's a Port Harcourt boy, so you know what PH boys, man. But yeah, I just want to never doubt him in my life again. And the work he's done with Toronto is very impressive. They've been one of the most consistent teams in the NBA over the past decade, constantly in the playoffs, won a championship, produced multiple All-Stars, have a Finals MVP, won almost 60 games in a regular season. Obviously, they don't get love they deserve because they're in Canada. But they're probably one of the most consistent. They're consistently one of the most consistent teams in the NBA. And that's because of Masai Ujiri. So I want to give him he deserves every single flower that he's getting right now.
I'm pretty proud of them because one highlight for me was when Thad Young
sent dropped Embiid.
That was just, oh my God. Embarrassing.
If the Sixers do go on to close the series today, like, no shame, Raptors will come back better next season.
Yeah. And then to have Embiid talk about, like, I'm coming in for the sweep and have him shut up and then clap.
And then Freddie claps him off as well. I'm like, yes, Freddie, go on.
Embiid has no shame. Like, talking at the refs, when they give him, like, 40 free throws per game.
Yeah, yeah, like,
I can't believe he was fighting his teammates like that, man. That's crazy.
He was fighting his teammates?
Yeah, the refs.
Oh. Come on, man. You gotta catch up, man. You gotta keep up, bro.
Big win by Toronto. Big win.
And you know how I like the talk by Nick though, talking about 3-0 has not been done.
Bro, he said 3-0 has not been done, but if we
but
get
3-1,
3-1 has been done. I'm like, okay. Yeah, if Nick Nurse should, obviously, it seems like he's out of the realm of possibility. But if the Raptors should win 4 straight against Philly, Doc Rivers, wherever you are, hide from me. I will come for you. I promise, Doc Rivers, I'm not lying. I swear, I will come for you. You see, I know where you. I know where your bald ass gets your hair lined every week. I will come for you because you deserve it.
He doesn't get his hair lined. He's a tattoo. He tattooed the hairline, so he never has to like his hair.
But it's most likely.
Why are y'all going at it like that,
bro? people are telling me, did you see Doc Rivers call on the MB3? Oh, please. That was a botch play by the Raptors. I'm giving him no credit for that. It's Joel's greatness that made that. It has nothing to do with Doc Rivers.
No, boy, you got to give him credit. That was a great call.
Call me biased. I don't care.
It was a great call.
Speaking of great calls,
don't get mad at me, like. Carry on.
Speaking of great calls, what Steve Kerr did yesterday was not a great call. Was definitely not a great call, and he had a bunch of terrible calls down the stretch against the Denver Nuggets yesterday. Warriors were 3-0 up that game three. What Jordan Poole has done in these playoffs is just it shows me how crazy it is that he was not even on the finalists for most improved player. Like, it's so ridiculous. But game one, game two, game three, Steph, Jordan Poole, what Stephen A has been shouting, Lethal Weapon 3 since. Some people are calling it PTSD, Poole, Thompson, Steph, Draymond.
That is nice. I'd rather roll with that.
That some people are calling it Death Lineup Reloaded as well. You know, that Iggy, Harrison Barnes, Clay, Steph.
PTSD started kicking, so I gotta get high.
But that lineup is extremely crazy. And Clay was going off yesterday. He made 7 of his 10 three-pointers, had 34 points. Draymond as well. Draymond as well had the game-winning steal in game 3. You know, I just want to shout out Draymond Green as well. The basketball savant that man is crazy. Like the man said, he did that in game 3 with 5 fouls. Mm. The only person I've ever seen take a superstar with 5 fouls in the clutch and lock him up is Kawhi Leonard. That's the only other person I've seen do that. Yeah.
And after game 4, in the presser, he was like, he didn't even set the tone. And he was like, baseline, shitty defense. And he was like, it starts with me. And he gave the team an example to follow. That's a
fact. And then yesterday, game 4, the Warriors were blowing out. The Warriors were getting blown out. And then Steve Kerr does a great thing by inserting, what's the kid's name? Kuminga. And Kuminga gave the Warriors a lift. They got back into the game. They were down 3 at some. Steph, they were up 2 at some points. Yeah, they were up 2 as well when Steph made that step back 2. Steph put Jokic on an island and just, oh, that was bullying, man. That's the definition of bullying. Put Jokic on an island, his blowbys here, step backs there, like he's literally bullying Jokic. And Steve Kerr, what I liked about Steve Kerr, he changed to a zone defense when just before Dre fouled out and kept it when he subbed in Otto Porter Jr. And they got 3 straight stops. I think they got Jokic a free throw, but that was the only time they got scored on. And then they're down 2, I think. And then Steve Kerr decides to throw a lob pass to Andrew Wiggins on the inbound. Like, just before, like 5 seconds before, I saw Jokic on the sideline telling Austin Rivers, yo, watch for the lob, watch for the lob. For me, it's an absolutely ridiculous call because you have Steph Curry going off. Like, I think he had 14 points in the fourth quarter at that point in time. Why not just put the ball in his hands? You have 45 seconds to go.
It's unfair to say it's a bad call because that's in hindsight.
It's a very bad call. No, it's a very, Tosin, it is a very, very bad call.
It's a, that is 6'7", and you have this guy that is like 6'3". That's a bad call.
Are you telling me a lob to the rim is a safer bet than putting the ball in Steph Curry's hands?
If we just got the ball, it would have been under the rim. Instead,
he's the person that was going off. Steph
made a bad throw. The person that threw the ball that made a bathroom because you have to put it over where a 6'3 guy will not get the ball.
Steve Curry came to
and that ball was short.
The ball was short, but the play itself was dumb. Steve Curry came out today and said it was a bad call because it was a terrible call. You put the ball in Steph Curry's hands. Are you telling me if they're playing to win a title, you're not putting the ball in Steph Curry's hands?
Steph has never made shots like
but
that.
He had it rolling. He had 14 in the fourth. Why would you put the ball? Are you telling me they're doing a lob pass if it's LeBron James, if it's Kevin Durant, if it's Kyrie Irving, if it's Jason Tatum?
Steve Kerr put the ball in Steph's hand against Kevin Love, and he didn't make it.
That's fine. If he doesn't make it, it's fine. It's fine. At least you put the ball in your superstar's hand. I'd rather have Steph Curry lose me again than have Steve Kerr lose me again. And Steve Kerr lost them that game. Also on the defensive end, three straight stops with the zone. Only points you considered were the Jokic free throws. All of a sudden, he decides to switch to a box and 1 week Kevon Looney after Jokic has been cooking him all series. That cost the Warriors the game. Jokic read the box and one, took on Kevon Looney 1v1, made the teardrop, high pick and roll with Monte Morris, got into the middle of the box and one floater, and then he ran box and one again on the dagger by Will Barton. Jokic read it, went to the middle, kicked out to Will Barton. Nobody was on him, and that was the dagger. That's the biggest reason the Warriors lost that game. It's because of some of the calls Steve Kerr made towards the end of the game. But it's fine. Jokic got it. It was a moral victory for them. Warriors in five. That's all I'm going to say.
You got it, Chuck. You got it, Jam. You got it.
Yeah, that's not argument for me. It was just hard. So,
all right.
The only thing I'll just say is kudos to the Nuggets for not just laying
down.
Getting rolled over like Ben Simmons. Sorry, who said that?
Oh, sorry. We don't mention that
name yet. Sorry.
Speaking of, also let's move on to. Oh God, you guys know where I'm going with this, but we in Minnesota now.
Did you guys see the
clip? What was that?
The guy tried to get a new voice.
Bro, I don't know. He was not smiling.
Wait.
Get the job done, man. Just gonna get the job done. You didn't hear when he downloaded that deep voice?
He started the interview with his regular voice. And then, just remember that
I'm going
to get clowned up.
Just switching deep voice. Bro, I promise you, that we in Minnesota now is the
job not finished. The job not finished. I just did my job. So I wanted to be like Kobe. I'm like, what?
Bro, I'm telling you. That video of we in Minnesota
I'll
now.
Go home and I'll drink some wine. I'm like, yo. who the hell
does he think he is, fam? Like,
do you want to start by saying next question? If you don't ask your question, who are you?
Because of the Louis V, they wear.
Bro, I told the media we in Minnesota now. Bro, that's the funniest video I've seen in my life, in my entire life. The man had 4 points. I was saying, I told the media we in Minnesota now. Well, big up to him. He stepped up the next game. I think he made I think he shot 7 of 17.
It was very assertive.
He had 30.
Yeah, he had 33-11.
33 points. Yeah. He set the tone from the beginning when he made that three.
It was not just on the perimeter that game. He was driving in, trying to, like, the Euro step, forcing
Darren Jackson Jr., I don't know what is wrong with you. But can you try at least to not get in foul trouble in every single game? Like, can you just play defense?
This is why I told you Memphis will have an issue going far in the playoffs. They're not that experienced yet.
No, you see the way the refs are playing playoffs.
It's not even only in the playoffs. Like, in the regular season, he had 22 games with five fouls or more. What?
I mean, that is
ridiculous.
As a defensive player, he's trying to... Defensive player of the year candidate. He's supposed to have.
It's too much.
I hear you. But you can tell from the way the refs have been calling all playoffs.
Yeah,
they've been bugging. But
and then we can't let Ja off the hook as well. We can't let Ja off the hook. He's been terrible these past two games. They won in spite of him in game three and game four. He just wasn't good enough. Literally.
Baseline. That's what it was. I can argue. They said the guy has both to their field goal.
No, but I'll give him a pass just because of that wee Minnesota Now tweet. That was legendary.
Hey, Minnesota Now.
That was legendary, but you know, Ja, you need to step up. I still have the Grizzlies winning in six games. This could potentially be a seven-game series, but Ja needs to step up. He needs to be the MVP candidate everybody was talking about during the regular season. Desmond Bane has had a huge series. Bro, that brother Kenyon Anderson.
Yeah, for me, he's the MVP of the...
Femi, I think we lost you. But Tosin, what do you think?
I think Memphis in six, because when I watch Minnesota, even when they're up, they make dumb decisions.
That is, I call them dumb, exactly. I've called them dumb.
When you're up 20, they don't do the things that get them to be up. Now, when you're up 20, just be getting layups, easy baskets. Then they start chucking up threes, unreasonable threes. And yeah, I don't know who they think they are. So I don't think they play enough smart basketball to actually win. Memphis, on the other hand, they're resilient. When they're down 20, they've come back in the same game. They've been down 20 twice. They're resilient. They've shown character. The only problem is, positive is, Ja will eventually wake up. And when he wakes up, hopefully, it is going to be a rollover.
Hopefully.
Yeah, and Desmond Bane so far has been their MVP.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Desmond Bane, bro, that guy makes threes, like, and he can handle the ball as well. Like, he's not a Duncan Robinson that relies on screens. Even though Duncan is a great player, that brother must run at least 5K every single game, or 10K, sorry, every single game. But Desmond Bane, you can put the ball in his hands. He can go get his own shots. I like Dylan Brooks, but he just needs to be more consistent with his offensive play. Like, he doesn't put enough. He's not efficient enough for me, but he's good on the defensive end. I still have Memphis winning the series in six, because they're more resilient and they are smarter and they are better coached. But Chris Finch is doing a good job with Minnesota as well. Like, big him up. Ant hasn't been the same ever since game one. Probably part of the reason why they're not as... Minnesota didn't play as well. And D'Lo has been just hot and cold for me. Like, not just in games, but in quarters.
He has spurts.
Yeah, like, he hasn't been consistent enough. There's another reason. I think Jai is going to wake up in game five, and the Memphis Grizzlies are going to roll to a game five and game six. Another person who seems to be in hellfire right now is Trae Young.
Sorry, KD just made a three. Well, go ahead.
Oh, you're watching the game.
Of course.
Trae Young seems to be in hell right now.
Yeah.
PJ,
that clip where he went from Tucker and he switched on to Bam, and then Butler, and then Kyle Lowry.
And then Max Strus, even though Strus is not a great defensive player, but he's got a butt.
Vincent is a demon.
Yeah, Vincent is evil. I'm convinced. Him and Alvarado are related. You cannot.
Yes.
But I said it after game one that Trae shooting like 3 of 12 from the field is not going to be an aberration in this series, just because he's barely 6 feet. Basketball is a big man sport, and when your biggest weakness on the perimeter, like when your mismatch on the perimeter with your big is Bam Adebayo, like that's going to present big problems for Trae. You can see, even when he got Clint Capella yesterday, he didn't really make much of a difference.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and then Jimmy Butler. I want to shout out Jimmy Butler. He put on a clinic in game two. Like, the biggest problem people have with Jimmy right now is he could be passive here and there. But when he wants to, that man can put up 30, can put up 35, put up 45 in game two against the Atlanta Hawks. For me, Atlanta's MVP in this series, the only reason they have a game, the only reason they're not out right now is Bogdanović. Like, it's almost like it's almost like every fourth quarter, a light just goes off in his head and he's like, okay, it's money time. And he just, even game two, when Jimmy went off for 45, he was the main reason Atlanta was still in that game. He just could not miss from three.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
I think Atlanta, they've won the only games they can win. I just see too much domination, because even when Bogdanović was going off and whatnot, it was, and they were up a considerable amount. Miami still came back in the game and they barely won. So I just think Miami, they're too balanced. They're defense. Like, the defense is there. Jimmy is playing like the Jimmy we love. Even when Lowry is in the game or not, they still play. They have that identity. Everyone can shoot the ball.
Then that brother, Max Strus, I don't know where they got him from, but he's all of a sudden looking like Klay Thompson.
Bro, they have some dogs that are shooters. Like, you know, there are some guys, they only known as for the defensive side of the ball. These guys actually, they play both sides.
Definition of 3-and-D, bro. Definition of 3-and-D.
We haven't seen the sixth man of the year go off. What's his name? I forget his name.
Tyler Hero. He had a great game. He had a great game three, but it was in spouts. Like, oh,
yeah. He's good. And they've not needed him to actually go off. Like, they've had control of the entire series. Hmm. And Oladipo as well. And Jimmy said something that was funny to me. He said he felt their downfall in the game, the loss, was when they had that,
that
run.
21-0 run. Yeah.
Yeah. He said then they became complacent that they can go on runs anytime. And that's a different mentality for me. Like,
yeah, Miami is a team full of dogs, bro. Like, we've said this all through the season. There's a reason why they were the number one seed in the East, even with Bam missing a large number of games, Lowry missing a large number of games, Jimmy missing a large number of games. They were still able to get. And then I cannot talk about the Miami Heat without talking about that move for Spo. Like, Spo is that guy. Spo is another reason Trae Young is in hell. Because he'd be picking him up full court, be throwing up to him full court, be blitzing on the pick and roll, be telling him to switch, like just providing different coverages for Trae Young to figure out. For me, Miami 5, the series should be over right now. I've watched every single game in the series. Miami should have won game 3. But, you know, what happens, Atlanta had home court. They're going back to Miami, series over.
They don't have like a backup point guard. The backup point guards they got, they don't even get minutes.
DeLon Wright
Lou Williams. I think
Pepe Lou is injured, but DeLon Wright plays backup point guard for them. And he's been really good for them. Him and Bogdanović are the reason they won game 3.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Femi, what do you think?
Well, when you have the best player on the Hawks scoring 8 points in one game, then 10 points, barely 10 points the second game. You know, it's going to be very tough to overcome. Like, if you're going to be relying on your second best player to be dropping at least 28 for you guys to win.
And John Collins is not doing that.
Not doing that. Then you have PJ Tucker. I mean, calling you too small. Like, it's just been straight up a great defensive scheme by Spo.
Facts.
The defensive players have executed the scheme properly down to a T, to be
perfection.
Honest.
Perfection.
Because that man is lit. The Miami Heat symbol is a ball on fire. That man is on fire. That man is in hell fire. They got him looked up. They won't let him out.
Okay.
They won't.
Another thing is, before we move on, PJ Tucker, that man is 37 years old. And he's moving his feet on defensive end like he's 25.
Is he actually 37? Is this one of your ages?
No, he's gonna. Him and JJ Redick are the same age. What's wrong with you? He's 36, 37, and he's going like he's moving on defensive side like he's 25. Like the way he moves his feet, he's not bothered by any, you know, combination of moves from the point guard. He's just there to play defense and make corner threes. Like,
I think they're exactly like Boston in terms of like individual defense. They have the best individual defenders.
In Miami Boston matchup in the conference finals, we could be seeing games end 88-85.
No cap. Because I think both teams would go at each other Brown, I know Jaylen Brown would not let Jimmy to go at Jason Tatum how we would like. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
and Marcus Smart, like, bro, come on. You'd be.
Do you know
be,
what I call Marcus Smart?
Marcus Ibelebele.
Marcus Ibelebele. He's got that dog in him, fam.
Yes, sir.
He's not going to like yes, this, sir. But move on to the Mavs Jazz game before we get the Celtics. Mavericks should be up 3-1 right now. Let's be honest. The Dallas Mavericks should be up 3-1.
I don't know about that, sir.
No. They should have won game four. They definitely, in my opinion, like they should have won game four. Like, I asked this question the other day, but I'm confused. The Mavericks called a timeout before the last play. Why did they have to go full court? Was that their choice, or is there some type of regulation or something? Because most of the time, when they go,
it's probably most likely their choice.
Because it's usually because usually side out on your opponent's court.
They advance the ball.
It depends. So you can only go on the other side if you had like a full timeout. If it's like 30 seconds timeout, it will have to be like on the back court.
No. I think they chose to advance.
No, but the after ball. The Rudy Gobert lob, the Mavericks called a timeout. But they inbounded the ball full court. Like I feel like that's the major reason because they didn't end up getting the shot they wanted because they had to beat the full court press from the Utah Jazz. And then when they swung to Dinwiddie, but Spencer Dinwiddie was probably the biggest reason they lost that game. He was terrible. Yeah, he made a couple shots in second quarter, third quarter, but he was terrible. He couldn't do anything right in the first two quarters. And then Luka was also too passive in the first two quarters. I was saying, Luka, you have to be aggressive. You have to be assertive. You have to score. He wasn't doing that. He was trying to get others involved. I want to shout out Jaylen Brunson because he's a good player. He has a solid handle, all-around great player. But in my opinion, his best attribute is his footwork. Like the way he just drives, stops, pirouettes, pivot, like... It's almost like he watched. You can't tell me he didn't watch Kobe growing up. Like his fundamentals are 10 out of 10. Then Luka was assaulting Rudy Gobert on the pick and roll, making step back threes over him. And then how ironic is it that Donovan Mitchell to Rudy Gobert lob was what won the game for them? I still believe the Dallas Mavericks are going to win this series in six games. What do you guys think?
Go ahead.
Jazz in seven.
This guy, fam.
Oh yeah. I strongly think Dallas will win the remaining games, and I think it's 9-2 right now. So it's over in six. I guess Luka came back and didn't want to disrupt what they already had going on, so he was trying to. And also, his first game back from injury, so he wasn't going to be 100%. But I think everybody will be settled now, and they're just going to bully the Utah Jazz. The Utah Jazz, they're known for making mistakes. Donovan is going to go into who he is, and he's going to make bad plays.
Donovan, he jacks up so much threes, bro. He jacks up so much threes, fam. It's not, and then Maxi Kleber, not Kleber, sorry, Dwight Powell, you scrub. All you had to do was make one free throw. One free throw, bro. One. But it's cool. Mavs in seven, Mavs in six, sorry. Is in the other rounds, we're saying Mavs in seven. and then onto the game everyone wants us to talk about. The Brooklyn Nets versus the
Who's everybody? That's what I want to know. I don't think anybody has said we need to talk about it.
Listen, I don't think I prepared myself to say this, but in approximately 2 hours, the Brooklyn Nets could have ended up getting swept in the first round by the Boston Celtics with KD and Kyrie. You heard me right. Like, I didn't stutter.
You're absolutely right. Kyrie just shot an air ball. Mid-range air ball.
Obviously, while we're recording this game, game four is going on right now. And before we get into the intricacies of the game, I just want to say this is the best playoffs we've had in a long ass time. Like 2020 comes close, but the first round in 2020 was not half as good as what we're witnessing now. A lot of sweeps, a lot of gentleman sweeps. The story, like think about it, of all the matchups we have, KD and Kyrie are the only ones that are potentially going to get swept.
Yeah.
Look at what's going on in Minnesota. you look at what's going on in Minnesota. Look at what's going on in Milwaukee. Look at what's going on in Golden State. Like every
2011.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. You're going 11 years ago. That's what I'm saying. It's the best we've had in a while, in a long while. No sweeps, just competitive. Everyone trying to kill each other. Look at the Pelicans Sun series. If there's any, you don't need to look further than that.
Yeah, like 20. I'm trying to think. I was 2019. I don't know about 2020. I was 2019.
2019. There was gentleman sweeps. There was sweeps. There was Milwaukee and Blake Griffin's team. Detroit.
Okay, that was trash. Yeah.
Toronto, Orlando, like this is very competitive. Like in both conferences, the 2-7 matchup is the most interesting one.
Yeah.
How many times has that happened? But let's get into the intricacies of the Boston Celtics Brooklyn Nets game. Tosin, do you mind pausing for 1 second and telling us your thoughts as the Brooklyn fan that you are?
It is over.
When you're going down swinging,
yeah, I am going down swinging. Just listen. When you have Kevin Durant taking 11 shots in the game,
ridiculous.
It's starting to look like the James Harden that was playing regular season, not really caring, giving up already. Your superstar can be taking 11 shots, scoring 1 point in second half. So the players are not helping the situation at all. The bench, the role players, they've been playing like they're playing at home. The away games, they played excellent. The third game, which was at home, they played excellent. Not just Bruce Brown, Goran Dragic,
Patty Mills. Seth Curry could do better. Even Blake Griffin, the run he had.
Blake Griffin.
Game three.
So the role players have been doing well. Like all the analysts have said, if Teddy had C-plus game or B game will probably be up to 3-0 because all the games have been close. So if the superstar just played like one, it would be a different story. And that's on the superstars. Kyrie also playing miserable. You can't blame it on not eating. Steve Nash is such an idiot for talking about, oh, Kyrie's not doing well because he's fasting. Jaylen Brown is probably fasting. Kyrie has played multiple games fasting and he has played well. So why are you using that as an excuse right now? Steve Nash is a bombastic element. Oh. He doesn't cook. He just stands there doing nothing. And when you have Goran Dragic play excellent basketball, close to perfect basketball first quarter, and you bench him till fourth quarter, and that was the last game. And the game before that, he didn't play till fourth quarter as well. And you have Drummond stinking up the joints. Like, he's a negative
Tipping rebounds to Marcus Smart.
Tipping rebounds where you can catch it. This guy's a negative 200 points on the floor. And then Claxton comes in, does amazing. And then we start the third quarter, and then you start Drummond. And they go up on, like, an 8-0 run, and we call a timeout. I'm like, okay, we're about to bring on Claxton. And then Drummond comes back on again. I'm like, what is going on here? So at the end of the day, we're self-sabotaging. Steve Nash needs to go. He needs to go ASAP mid-game.
Yeah, exactly. I think Mark Stein came out with a report today that Steve Nash has the backing of KD and the team's president, and he'll most likely be back for next season.
And if that happens, I'm off KD. Now, I'm with Kyrie, you know, for the long haul. But that is absolutely crazy. You can't be dealing with personal feelings when it comes to, like, winning. And that's why the mentality, I was telling Faye, like, we don't have that teammate that is like a Pape, like, yo, guys, what are we doing? Let's go in the huddle. Nobody's like, yo, like a Marcus Smart. Let's go. Let's get a stop. Let's make a basket. Kyrie, why aren't you getting the ball? Why aren't you shooting the entire fourth quarter? We don't have any player like that. Again, Kyrie doesn't laugh. KD doesn't laugh. Everybody's moody. Even when we score points, go on runs, we don't get the crowd into it. It's like we're playing away every single game. But yeah.
Couple things, right? There's a lot of storylines as you'd expect.
Breathe out, breathe in, breathe out.
Calm down. First of
breathe
all,
in, breathe out.
I want to start a petition for every single game in this series to be played at the TD Garden because the Barclays Arena is a library, bro. Like, you can go there, do your dissertation, study, and pass your exam very well. Because as far as I'm concerned, they play with no fans. There was absolutely nobody in the stadium the other day. Bruce Brown, the game started off with a 12-0 run, and I had absolutely nothing. Nothing. when I was watching games at TD, it was almost like as if I was in the arena. I was like, yes, this is playoff basketball. And we go to Barclays, and then KD matches the energy that the crowd is giving him. Second of all, this is the biggest meltdown I have seen from a superstar since what LeBron James, your phony goat, did in 2011 against the Dallas Mavericks.
That was a bold for we're talking about KD.
You know, I have to be like Skip, man. You know how it is. But this is the biggest meltdown I've seen since what LeBron did in 2011. It's not worse because the stage was bigger for Bron, but in a way, this is terrible because it paints a lot of narratives about KD. Oh, he couldn't get it done without Steph and the Warriors franchise. Oh, people! All of a sudden, people are starting to see when OKC was up 3-1 on the Warriors. I'm seeing stats about what KD did in those games. Interesting stats. Kevin Durant has 19 made field goals in this series up until game 3. With those 19 made field goals, he has 17 turnovers.
Yeah.
Is that KD or Russell Westbrook?
Gisting with Tatum. Bro, you are meant to be hunting for blood. That was different between Herbert and KD for me. You're meant to be...
No, but then for me, Steve Nash has to go. But I can't put the blame on Steve Nash. It's Kevin Durant and Kyrie. I can't put all the blame on Steve Nash.
You're right. You can't put all the blame, but majority has to go to
I'm watching. I've said it. Draymond Green has. Every single person has said it. Yo, KD is getting dogged because he's bringing the ball up the court. Get him. Start the game with an elbow pin down or something. Bring Goran Dragic in. Let him handle the ball. Get KD off ball movements. Let him make some shots, so he doesn't get dogged. Nope.
Steve Nash. How can you put it on Steve Nash? Then there are no plays being called.
That's what I'm saying. Steve Nash, he's at fault, but I can't just put all the blame on him. Like, people are trying to say KD has no help. His coach is this, his coach is that.
Oh, no, you have to put some blame on KD. What?
Yes. Nah. And then, last but not least, obviously, Kyrie Irving, he hasn't been great since game 1. You know, he's not been as bad as KD. He's been way more aggressive, but he hasn't been good enough. But the one man I want to talk about is Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons was sat on the bench in game 3, looking like a bag of Skittles with his red glasses and his purple jacket and his orange shirt, saying, oh, I'm going to be back for game 4. And then all of a sudden, he has back spasms. Femi, please. He has not played basketball in almost 12 months. How the hell do you have back spasms? How the hell? Was it when he got down on one knee to propose to Maya Jama? Was it while he was sitting on the bench?
He wasn't taking care of himself. That's just what it is.
Dude, I don't buy it. I don't buy it. He doesn't have back spasms. I don't buy it at all. I don't buy it.
And they said, like, I mean, bro, okay. I mean, what? You know what I'm saying? What? What do you mean back spasms?
Thank you.
I want to understand. Unless, okay, when you're even working out your back, yeah, your lower back, there is nothing that you're only going to just make the lower back tight just to get through the workout. So there is no way it could generate back spasms after. You get me?
Unless he's telling us he had back spasms while sitting on the bench.
Unless somebody was blowing his back out. Or while he was blowing somebody's back out, he lost a disc. Because it don't make no sense, man.
Well, what do you think about
him? I got seen like the interview he had with... The interview he had with the organization, he said he still has mental...
We're losing you. Doesn't talk.
He said he still has, like, mental block that is, like, he's still battling, which is absolutely shameful because, like, bro, it's been a year.
I want you to deep what Ben's... Like, obviously, a lot of people are suffering from mental health issues and, you know, I understand, like, it's a real issue that we're facing in our
society. It's a real one. It is.
But Ben Simmons sat out a whole year because he got his feelings hurt by Doc Rivers and Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid.
Shameful. You're in a different situation
now.
You
are a basketball player. you make money and you get criticized. It's part of the game. Yeah, Joel Embiid did this, but shouldn't that drive you? Shouldn't that be your hunger? Shouldn't you want to come back and prove Joel Embiid and Doc Rivers wrong? Wouldn't it be nice if he was lifting the Larry O'Brien with KD and Kyrie saying, I guess I'm a championship level point guard now? Wouldn't it be nice? Did you see what Kobe said when he won five rings, when he was like, all I care about is I got one more than Shaq? There's nothing better as a sports player when you prove people wrong. And then you're sat on the, and then you're tell, bro. And he lacks mental toughness. I've been saying it since summer. I keep saying it to now. Ben Simmons lacks the mental toughness to be a superstar in this league.
And to sit on the bench with all your Louis V, Ray-Bans.
He was looking like a bag of Skittles on the bench, bro.
The most stylish bench player earning $30 million a year.
And then he's filing grievances for the $30 million that he missed. This is highway robbery. This is highway robbery. It is.
He doesn't want to play basketball. I'm sorry.
He doesn't have love for the game. It's ridiculous. It's a joke. It is a joke what Ben Simmons is doing right now. He's a selfish player. Point blank period.
What Ben Simmons is doing right now is an insult to the game. Because I'm telling you, yeah, if it was me in that position, right, I forget what they even said about me. I'm not there anymore, am I?
Bro, look at all the players that got drafted around the same time with Ben Simmons. Looking at Brandon Ingram. You're looking at Jason Tatum. You're looking at...
They're all X factors on their team in the playoffs.
We're literally saying the Pelicans could beat the Suns as a seventh seed because of B.I.
Yeah.
And then you want to sit there and you haven't worked on your game for 1 second, and then he's dunking in practice, and he's telling, I hope he got that. Of course, you're 6'10", you can dunk. What do you mean?
You saw what KD did when he saw his brothers struggling in Golden State. He came to play on an injured leg.
Partially torn Achilles. I don't care what anybody tells me.
It's ridiculous to me. Joel Embiid literally needs surgery on his thumb right now. But he's giving everything blood. Last year, I saw Joel Embiid drop 41 in game one of the Eastern Conference semifinal against the Atlanta Hawks on a torn sprained MCL.
Let me be Skip Bayless right now. This all boils down to LeBron James, Ramon James. Now, Coach Sports, they are the manager, they are the agents of this guy. And I remember in Philly, they advised him he should sit out and try and get his money back and whatever. Now they went to a meeting with Brooklyn today, telling Brooklyn, oh, he's interested in playing, reinforcing his interest in being in Brooklyn. We are not seeing anything. How can you put like teasers on Instagram saying, "Oh, I want all the smoke face or whatever," and you didn't even play, and your back is hurting. Even
if your back is hurting, four simulation.
I've never heard anything like that, man.
My love for the game. I wouldn't even tell anyone. I'll get shots and go play that game.
Devin Booker played in the NBA Finals last year with the hamstring injury. Giannis Antetokounmpo came back from a sprained knee, hyperextension in the NBA Finals last year. What is the difference between me and Ben Simmons? Honestly, we both played 0 minutes in the NBA this season. All we did was show. At least when I show up to practice, I don't play. I don't practice my phone in my pocket.
Okay.
And then everyone is telling me you're too hard on Ben Simmons, bro. Ben Simmons, as far as I'm concerned, he will never be a superstar in this league because he lacks the mental toughness to make it to the top in this league.
And I think next year is going to be telling for Ben Simmons. He's on
even with James Harden putting up playing how he is right now. Daryl Morey won that
4
trade.
4 points is better than 0 points.
Daryl Morey won that trade 1,000%.
Come on,
but Femi, what do you think about KD? Because I know KD is your Kevin.
So Kevin has been disappointed. Disappointing, I should say. And it has disappointed me because I missed the... I'm not about to go back and forth with Patrick Beverly. But, I'm Kevin Durant.
Just before you continue, do you remember you said KD was going to drop 84 points in game two? and Chris said he has 12 minutes to drop 61 points.
not my defining moment, but
physical. So Kevin has been quite a disappointment. And I want to give credit to the defensive scheme. Like, it's, I'm telling you, this has been the best I've seen anybody being defended. Like, I've, like, it's not even, and it's not like it's a one-on-one defense. It's the whole team.
It's almost
imagine.
It's almost like when the Spurs forced LeBron to shoot jump shots in 2007.
Right? And every jump shot he's taking, there's an extra man contesting. That takes away, as a shooter, that adds an extra obstacle in your peripheral when you're shooting. So there's an object, there's another object in sight that you have to worry about when you're shooting, right? When you have an extra hand flying across. So it's been great defense and poor offensive outing by Kevin. And I'm not gonna just let Kyrie just go like that, man. Number 11, I need a little bit more. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it was once you see seven, 3-point line on Saturday.
On Saturday, like, it was bad. And I could tell from his demeanor, the man didn't care about the game. Like, it was just like, I don't want to even say about, like, he doesn't care because it's Kyrie. Come on, man. That's what Drew. But it's just like, the man was just feeling lethargic. That could be from a couple of things, like, you know, he's fasting and stuff. But Kevin, you're the man on that team. You're the X factor on that team. You got to step up, man. Like, I'm expecting, like, Nets in seven.
I'm calling it. They're gonna get swept. The game, the series is over today. They're gonna get swept.
So what? I said what? Did I stutter? Listeners, did I stutter? I don't think so.
Okay, no problem.
Let that man know. Nets in like, seven.
Nets in seven, sir. Nets I didn't miss my words, did I?
Are you guys kidding right now? Like, I need to know. I need to know if after this Nets I have to find new people to be recording the podcast.
Brooklyn Nets in seven.
In seven.
Okay,
watch your step as you step off the bus.
I think we need to get
clear of the yellow line.
I think we need to give Kevin Durant that step back papi name, because unlike James Harden, who has to an extent stepped up, KD is stepping back. And when they need him to
step up.
yo, you're about to start another worry that you don't want.
Yo, Harden stepped up in game one and game two, man. You can't even argue.
Stop. Maxi stepped up. Tyrese Maxi stepped up.
We're not going to have this argument too soon.
No, we can go over it. I can bring up the stats. Tyrese Maxi stepped up.
We're not going to talk about the Nets Celtics and not talk about the Celtics aspect of things. And we're going to start with Jason Tatum, because Tosin, I will present the question to you again. You cannot definitively tell me that Luka Doncic is better than Jason Tatum. You just
can't.
Thank you. You can't tell me.
You just
can't tell me.
I can't tell me that. You cannot definitively tell me that right now there's 10 players in the world of basketball that is better than Jason Tatum. You cannot.
I don't know about 10. I don't know about 10, but Luka is. I'll say, Tatum has overtaken like a Paul George to me, so he's definitely top 10.
But you're saying he's not better than Luke?
Nah. Luke is generational. Luke is generational.
Jason Tatum is 24. He's 24.
Luca is too generational.
Tatum is averaging 29.7 points per game with 8 assists.
See, you would always get like a Tatum once every 3 years. Luca is
what are you talking about? Jason Tatum is 6'9". He's a 6'9" lockdown defender with handles. Bro,
what do you mean every 3 years? What do you mean every 3 years? What?
Tosin is tripping, fam. So I'm saying Jason Tatum is telling me Jason Tatum should be in the same category as Trae Young. That is disrespectful. That is disrespectful.
He's like
What are you talking? Are you serious right now?
You got
him dead ass. I'm dead ass.
You got
him. No, you're joking. You're joking.
No. Let me actually step a little bit further. As on the offensive side, Michael Porter Jr. is better than Tatum.
Yeah. End the pod. End the podcast.
Guys, we've come to the end of another episode. I'm not going to be pissed off again. Like, I'm not going to be mad. I'm not going to be mad because Dawson is clearly trolling right now. Like, he wants us to get pissed off so he can get views. But I'm not going to be mad. Honestly, I'm not going to be mad because you started again. You're doing the same thing you do over and over. What do you mean Michael Porter Jr. is better than Jason Tatum? What do you mean?
Offensively.
What do you mean?
Should I tell you what I mean?
No, don't tell me. Don't tell me. You don't deserve
it. You don't deserve it.
I don't care. I don't care what I asked you. You don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. No, Michael Porter Jr. is better than Jason Tatum offensively.
No, I didn't say.
You said on the offensive side.
Let me correct myself. He has a higher ceiling offensively.
What do you mean? Jason Tatum is 24. Good Lord, you're making me sound like cats. We in Minnesota now. Like this is so annoying. This is so. Bro, what do you mean?
Go out and watch their college.
I don't care about college. I don't care about JJ Redick was the best thing since sliced bread in college. Austin Rivers was a god in college.
Bro, MPJ, when it comes to shooting that ball, he's different.
You're telling me somebody that has never averaged 20 points per game in the NBA is better than someone who's averaging 29.7 in the playoffs.
I didn't say he's better. I said has a higher ceiling.
I don't care what you said. Any higher ceiling, better,
and he definitely same level your team right
is
now.
A joke. This is a joke. This is ridiculous, Dawson. Like this is the second
time. You'll come back and apologize to me in a couple of years.
We never do. That's the thing. That's crazy. We never do because you'll be having
this. What you never do. I'm literally right about James Harden.
You read about KD and Kyrie Irving now. 2 weeks ago, me and Femi were telling you Giannis is the best player in the world. You were telling me KD. What is he doing now?
Okay, KD is still the best player in my world.
And you, because you live in Mars. What is wrong with you?
One second.
Upset me.
Let's breathe. One sec. You really believe offensively you would take order over Tatum?
No, right now. I said higher ceiling. So, like,
when offensively,
yeah, I'll take MPJ.
God! Over a man that is averaging almost 30 and 8 assists in the playoffs right now.
I said what I said. You feel me?
So, you think, So, you think Michael Porter has the talent to average 35?
No, not 35. In the regular season, he had the talent to average 30.
Oh! Even Luka hasn't averaged 30 in the regular season.
He has ceiling to be a better scorer than Luka. What are you talking about?
Okay, guys, we've come to the end of another episode of the core cast.
Thank you. Know who his scorer is.
I am
this guy is a bucket getter.
Michael Porter Jr. doesn't have a better offensive game than Brandon Ingram. All
right, man. Guys, we've come to the end of a pod.
I'm done, bro.
You can't be serious.
You're bugging, man. You gotta be bugging, bro.
I'm done.
But what's that song about Canadian lad you're always singing?
Sometimes food, no, they give man joy, but Canadian love, the feeling is different.
I can't believe you just said Brandon Ingram has a higher ceiling as an offensive player than MPJ. Do you know who MPJ is? Even for his injury, the guy would have gone number one pick in the draft.
Listeners.
He didn't play in the college stuff at all, and he went number seven pick. Do you know what that is?
It bodes terribly for us that a number of people would see this and think you're being serious. And if you are being serious,
Where's my mother? I am dead ass.
See, I'm not going to post this on Instagram because I don't want your mom to see it.
But it's not Instagram, it's fine. Where's my mother?
You didn't say mother. You know what you're doing.
I'm trying to do the New York team now. What's my mother?
Love it. You know, you're joking. Femi, is he serious? Like, I need to know if he's serious.
I don't know what I can do to make you guys feel like I'm dead ass. Like, I feel offensively, MPJ is like, bro, do you know the definition of a bucket getter? He's a bucket getter.
Michael Porter Jr. is not the second best offensive player on the Denver Nuggets.
He's the best offensive player on the Denver Nuggets. He's the best offensive player.
Femi,
Bro, when you're talking about a bucket getter, like, just catch the ball. Bro, he doesn't even need to do much. That nigga is a bucket getter.
Sammy, please, who's your biggest winner of the week, please?
I mean, I feel like I've lost a friend. I'm crying.
Yeah, I'm not about to do this. Who's your best winner, biggest winner of the week, please?
Biggest winner of the week has to be... What were the games this week again?
I didn't even talk about Jason Tatum because this guy has just...
My soul has left my soul.
My biggest winner of the week. My biggest winner of the week is Michael Porter Jr.
Biggest loser is Jason Tatum. Let's end the pod. No.
Since we want to go crazy.
Let's be serious. My biggest winner of the week is probably...
It's not probably. It is Jason Tatum. Don't even think
about it. No. It's actually not Jason Tatum. I was going to go between Minnesota and... Because they should not be where they are, right? No, Pelicans. Pelicans, they're my biggest winner of the week.
Femi, who's your biggest winner of the week?
I would agree with the point.
Nah, it's Jason Tatum for me, bro. Jason Tatum has cemented himself. Like, he's no longer, he's coming, give him a few. Jason Tatum has cemented himself as one of those guys in the NBA.
Right. Fair.
And then who's your biggest loser of this week?
CP.
KD and Kyrie. KD, Kyrie.
When Kevin Durant is available. Shooting 11 times, he shot one time.
People are bringing up KD's
legs in game three. Two free throws in game three. If KD doesn't win a chip in Brooklyn, do you know what that means for his legacy? It means he could not win without a super team in Brooklyn. I know LeBron won with super teams in Miami, but the first year in the finals against the Golden State Warriors, he put up historic numbers with Kyrie and Kevin Love being injured. Next year, he won probably the most impressive title in NBA history.
And the Lakers was the Lakers were not a super team as well.
And KD has not done any. And that, bro, if you sick, okay, Femi, who is your biggest loser this week? I'll give you a second chance to get it right.
You stand on your word, man. Don't let anybody shift you. Stand on your word.
LCP, fam.
Say less, fam. I'ma do you like Sully. Say no more.
Don't worry. I got to shit on you, fam. I just get to shame.
All right, man. We've come to the end of another episode of the CoreCast. Once again, I want to apologize to all our listeners for hearing some of the takes that Tosin presented today.
When we wished him
happy birthday, I begged him to stop with some of these takes, but he said, no. I will be Tosin. And unfortunately for you guys, you have to hear these ridiculous takes, but just know that we...
I know there are people out there that agree with me.
Nobody in Code Network stands with those. No single person that... Both those that have come on the Highline podcast, those that have come on the CoreCast...
I'm sure there are. Someone would agree. I trust Jachi
is pulling me to your nonsense.
He's going to agree with me. I know for sure.
I keep him far away from this, your nonsense. Nobody agrees with Tosin. Just say, he stands on his own. He stands on his own in this stake, please. And thank you.
I was born alone. I'll die alone. It is what
yes, it and you will suffer alone because of this stake. You will suffer alone.
And alone, you will suffer.
Like I said, we've come to the end of another episode of the Highline Pod.
You don't believe it, bro. You don't really mean it.
It's playoff basketball, so you don't want to miss these episodes. You want to hear, you want to see. We're not just creating narratives. We're actually dipping, going down into what the problems are, both offensively and defensively for both teams. So tell a friend to 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 listen to the Highline Podcast. The CoreCast. I need to get this right. Thank you for coming on.
I apologize.
Thank you for coming on the show, T-Shy-T. Thank you for coming on the show, the Black Skip Bayless. It's been fun as usual. We'll see you in the next episode. Have a lovely day. Goodbye.